like everybody's personality. I don't like everything everybody does. You understand what I'm saying? So, now, here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 20. Since we've read this and read this, we're not going to go back and read the whole paragraph there. We're just going to read these two verses here. He says here, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom?" No, we don't want to go to verse 9. I've got 19 through 20 right here. That's okay. Just because we've read that so much, we're just going to do the little bit here. Verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? If something's not mine, then that means I can't do with it whatever I want to, right? I can't go out there and get Samantha's car and just burn rubber down the road, can I?" No, she ain't saying nothing, Johnny. She's real still. Yeah, why? That's Samantha's car. Now, if she gives me permission, I can do something, right? But he says there, even this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's not mine to do with what I want to. He says, verse 20, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." A lot of times we forget about that one. "And in your spirit, which are God's." Now go to 1 Thessalonians 4:4. We've read that whole paragraph there, and we're not going to read it this morning either. We're just going to read verse 4. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And the word possess there means how to control or manage his body. Every one of us have to control and manage this body. Your body, your flesh, is like a little kid. In case you ain't noticed, eat donuts a week for a certain time every day, and then don't eat one next Monday. Guess what your body wants at a certain 9 o'clock or whatever time? I want a donut. Or you drink an ice. Or you drink a cup of coffee. Or you smoke. Or you have what? It doesn't matter what it is. Our flesh, his body, is very trainable. God made it that way. But the Bible says we are to exercise ourselves to godliness, right? Now, every one of us should know how to possess or control or manage our bodies. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. We've read the whole little thing there. We're just going to read verse 27 this time. This is for time's sake. This is the Apostle Paul talking. The verses before it, he's talking about running a race, getting the prize. He says, "But I keep under my body." Who does? I do. The man on the inside, the spiritual man that lives. This is not me, what y'all seeing. This is like my yellow truck out there. My body goes and gets in it, and that truck takes me. Without this body, I can't stay here. You understand? But it's kind of like my vehicle. But at the same time, I have to tell it what to do. If I don't tell it what to do, how many knows one pie this week or this day, one donut this day, later on your flesh will say, "I want a donut." And you'll be like, "We done had one of them today." But then it'll be like, "Just one more time." Y'all ever heard that? It don't matter. It don't have to be a donut. It can be an affair. We're really not saying nothing now. It can be a donut, it can be a cigarette, it can be a drink, it can be a relationship, it can be sex, right? Just one more time. Why? Because to the flesh, nothing is ever enough. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it is, the horse leech has two daughters and both of them cry, "Gimme, gimme." Why? It's never enough. It don't matter how much you get. I don't care you start out smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. I know people that got on up to 5 packs a day. Do you know that's 100 cigarettes a day? They only started out with one, Johnny. And you just keep, and I've seen them. They'll be smoking one, and they're thinking about smoking another one, and you'll see them open the pack, take one out, and light it off the butt right here. How do you get that way? You didn't start out that way. I didn't start out eating a box of brownies every 2 to 3 days. With just one. And not controlling myself. There's nothing wrong with a brownie, maybe to you, if God's okay with it and you're okay. But how many knows a box every day or two is not good? So what's that mean? I have to control myself. Why? Because my flesh will tell me just one more time. The devil will tell me just one more time. Just one more time. How many knows as long as you keep doing that one more time, you're going to stay stuck in that and you're going to go further than what you wanted to go every time. I don't care if it's drugs. Everybody don't start out a crack addict. Absolutely not. The very thing you saying you are an addict means you started out with one, whether it was one snort, one puff, right, one shot, One prescription pill? Oh, we really ain't saying nothing on that one. Do you realize how many Christians, and I'm not just talking about here in this church, I'm not saying anybody here is, that we have that are addicted to prescription pills? And the way they got started was they got hurt. Something happened to them, some kind of an accident, just like Scotty with the heart attack and all that. They prescribed him Percocets and for pain and different things like that, you know. For him when he had his nose surgery, they prescribed him some oxycodone and all that. I've still got some of them in the cabinet because he didn't take them all. Why? Because he controlled himself. He told me, I want to take another one because I'm still hurting a little bit. But how many knows, those are not to knock your pain completely out. Y'all really not saying nothing. They're not to knock your pain completely out and make you sit there like a zombie. That's not what they're for. It's to help you manage your pain level where it's something that's tolerable. Now, great if it takes away all of it. But how many knows the way your addiction starts is you start taking an extra one past what the prescription says. I'm still hurting. And this is exactly how it starts. And in your heart, you love God. Right? You're a Christian. In your heart, you love God. You don't want to be this way. But see, it starts out this way. Just another one. Just a half of one. What is that going to hurt? Can y'all hear the devil in Genesis? You won't get addicted to it. You know you're just not like that. You're stronger than everybody else. Really. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve, they was the strongest there was. They didn't even have a sin nature. We have had a sin nature. They didn't even have a sinful flesh. They had never known sin, didn't know what it was. And you're telling me I'm going to do greater than what they did? That I'm stronger than what... Now I can. I don't have to do what they done, but do you understand what I'm saying? The devil likes to puff people up and say, you're stronger than everybody else. Oh, you can handle this. I know some people, two beers, they want to fight the world. I mean, you just got, why? They can't handle themselves. How many knows they don't need the two beers, right? But anyway, we don't want to get off on that. But he says there, he says, I keep under my body. I have to do it. I have to do it by my choices. Now, the stronger I am in God, the closer I am to him, the more we talked about when we started out, being truthful and honest with yourself, but then also grace and faith. Grace is what God has already done for us. The Bible said he's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He said in his word that he sent the Holy Spirit here to be our helper, to be our guide, to be our teacher, all these things, right? So sure, the closer I am to him, the more grace, the more I humble myself and admit, God, I can't do this. The first second I start being tempted with a painkiller to take an extra or a half of one, Lord, help me. I'm not stronger than this, but the greater one lives on the inside of me, and you help me, and you strengthen me, and I'll make the choice, no. And once I say no, can't no devil or no person or nobody make me. But he says, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection. That word means I make it obey me. I'm the one makes the choice. The man on the inside, he says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now look at, we're going to read this, I think. Matthew 10. I'm going to have to hurry up. I think it's where I'm going to go anyway. Yeah, it looks like it with my glasses on, Matthew 10. Verse 37 through 39, because we've done read a lot of this. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Don't mean don't love you, mom and daddy. Just means when it comes between them and God, it's God every time. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is a big one in the day and age we live in. If your kids are first, God is not. And my kids are not to come before my wife or my husband. Absolutely not. We have a lot of that today, especially a lot of times if you have blended marriages with blended families or whatever. Well, that's my kid. You don't tell me, you don't treat my kid like that. You don't tell my kid what to do, really. Now your kid's causing a problem that you should have put down a long time ago, right? Just put my glasses back on before we get to meddling. Then y'all get upset. It says, he's not worthy of me, verse 38, and he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He's talking about your spiritual life. If you'll lose that fleshly, carnal life with its passions and its desires and all. How many knows if you don't feed a cat, it'll leave? It usually don't sit there and starve to death. And if it does, it'll be dead anyway, so who cares? I'm talking about your flesh. Your flesh, if you have a stray animal come up to your house, the worst thing you can do is feed it if you want it to leave. Why? It got all its needs met there. It got stronger there. Why would I leave? I'd be dumb. But now if I'm there and there ain't no water outside, I can't find no water nowhere. You know, they're just like us. They got to have water. I can't find nothing to eat nowhere. I'm going to go on down to the neighbor's house. And if I don't find nothing there, I'll move on down to the next neighbor's house. Our flesh is exactly the same way. If we're going to overcome it, we must deprive it of its power. One of the ways you're going to do that, don't put yourself in certain environments. I'm a Christian. But you put me in certain environments and you get the bump just right and all that stuff, I can feel it. I went to the Monster Gym yesterday, you know, and the Monster Trucks, I like them all right or what. But they brought the four-wheelers out, Johnny. They brought the four-wheelers out. And they're not just riding and freezing, they're racing. Now I'm getting stirred up. I told them over, I said, I feel the chill bumps. Why? I like competition. I like that. I'm sitting over there and I'm telling Scott, I said, he's got to keep it tight in the turn. He's going to get him now on that turn if he don't keep it. And sure enough, he got a little bit wide on that turn right there when he was right behind him. And boom, he got in the front and won. Alabama was in the lead, but Florida just, they had these shirts on Florida. Florida just zoomed right past him. Why? Because he got a wide turn over there. Why am I saying that excites me and my flesh got real stirred up? Travis's too. I tell you right now, I can do better than that. I've been riding four-wheelers all my life. I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. Who cares? Most time, he's just kidding about that stuff every now and then. But anyway, why am I saying that? Because my flesh got stirred up. I got in a certain environment where certain parts of my flesh got stirred. Y'all not saying nothing. That's one reason I don't listen to secular music, because I go back to that music and I start playing that music and I start hearing that music, those words, and that bump, and it takes my mind back, takes my emotions back, and that was not in a good place. So therefore I want to stay out of those environments. Now there's some you can't help, you got to go to work. I mean, that's like Scotty and them. There's times they get on a job and they have got the old music just blasting, like with a loudspeaker. So sure, you have to learn how your best you can to block stuff out and different. He has to be there. So therefore, God's going to help him and all that. And if they go to lunch, that radio's off. It's their radio, but they're not listening to it now. They're going to lunch. So he just go over and cut it off. And sometimes if they are there, he might cut it off. Depending on how bad. Why? He don't want in that environment. But a lot of people like to say, I'm stronger than that. That won't bother me. I heard a story about a lady one time. She was a minister. God actually called her to preach and all that. And she had come out of, she had been an alcoholic, you know, and come out of the bar scene and all that stuff and everything. Well, she had went back in to minister to people. How many knows that's a good thing to do if God tells you? See, sometimes nowadays you have a lot of people, they'll tell you, well, you know, you used to be a drug addict, so you should go minister to drug addicts. You better not unless God tells you. Why? They can relate. You can relate to them. I don't need to relate my flesh to them. I don't need to relate to them what I went through. I need an anointing from the Holy One that's going to break their bondages. And it's not in just me going and do it, because I used to be there, so I know how you feel. Who cares how you feel? I don't care. Man, that something could have happened to me and you, the very same thing, and I feel differently about it than what you do. So feelings don't matter. Right? It's the anointing that matters. That y'all done made me mess up. No, I forgot where I'm at. Oh, yeah. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Somewhere my will is going to cross God's will, and that's when mine has to die. Let's look at Luke 6:40. Put it on the screen, please. It says it's just the one verse there. The disciple is not above his master. We've done read this one in its context. We're going on read the verse. But everyone that is what? Right here takes mine ring. Perfect shall be what? As his master. What's that mean? I'm like Jesus. See, this is the standard. See, how quiet it got? Now, I told you last week, a lot of your old-timers in religion or serving God, what I mean by that is have served God for years. You go back to when they was coming up, everything was sin. Going to the movies was sin. Not wearing a dress around your ankles, you know, was sin. Cutting your hair was sin. I heard a story about a lady that one time, she was in a certain denomination that if you cut your hair, it's sin. She cut her hair, drove her crazy, and she went in the mental institution. How many knows that cutting your hair is not sin unless God told you don't cut it? I could shave my head and it's not sin. But now if God said don't, then I better not. But back years ago, everything was sin to them. You know, if you don't wear a bonnet over your head, sin to you. If you don't have your sleeves down here to your, wrist. What I started calling my elbow, that's up here. Down to your wrist, that's sin. I mean, that stuff is not sin. I mean, good Lord, if you get turned on by my elbow, you have a problem. Something wrong with you. I mean, for real, and that's not my problem. But then you come over here today. We have men that have ordaining homosexuals in the church to where nothing is the standard anymore. Right? And that's not good. That's not good at all. We are the ones that are supposed to hold up the standard. And you'll hear people say, well, they better not look at me, just mind your own business. You signed up for it. I signed up for people to look at my life. Right? I enlisted in this army. So therefore, once I get in, listen, enlisting in the army is all volunteer. They'll make you. But once you sign that name on that piece of paper, you belong to them. Same way in the kingdom. But yet you'll still hear this today. All of us, we're volunteering. You know, it don't matter what we do. It don't matter where we go. It don't matter. Oh, it matters. Everything matters, right? We done read the scripture that it says it's going to cost us everything to serve Jesus. But we don't look at that in a bad way because it's going to cost me all my sin. It's going to cost me all my bondage. It's going to cost me all my desires of the flesh. And it's going to bring freedom and peace to my life. Now, so he says there that he's going to be perfect, shall be perfect as his master is perfect. Thank y'all for that joyful amen. So what's the standard? Christ-like perfection. That's all he requires. That's a mouthful. Now, let's look at 2 Chronicles 16. We'll just read it from up here. He says, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria. How many knows that's a no-no? Has relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. That means God's eyes are doing like this, right? All over the whole earth. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is what? Perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. How about he should have trusted in the Lord? Now this word perfect, let's see here, I looked it up. I think that was on my other page. Yeah, this word perfect here, in this verse right here, when you look it up, it means complete. It means full. It means made ready. See, it's not like what a lot of us think. We think perfection, we thinking perfect, flawless in the flesh. And that's not what he's looking for. Let's read on here to see. Let's look at did we read Matthew 5:48? That one says for us to be perfect too, but we won't go back to it. Now, you'll hear this, nobody's perfect. We got to get that out. We got to stop saying that. Why? We're fixing to read some scriptures of some people that the Bible says calls them perfect. Now, That is the standard, is Christ-like perfection, right? As you hear, and listen, people get mad at you sometimes because you try to live this way. You would think they would be happy, Sandy. You'd think my husband would be happy. I quit committing adultery or blowing money or different things, right? But sometimes people are not happy. Well, what do you think? You're better than I am? Well, not necessarily. I'm not any better than you, but I got a standard over here that I got to hold, and if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be holding the same one. So don't be looking at me. Don't let me be your standard. You'll hear other people, well, I'm just as good a Christian as they are. Really? Was that your standard? If it is, it might be about this high. See, the Bible says don't compare ourselves to ourselves. Sandy's not my standard. Why? Sandy has flaws. I'm not your standard. Now, I know the Apostle Paul said, follow me, but remember what he said? As I follow Christ. He didn't just say, follow me as I follow the flesh or anything else. But the standard is Christ-like perfection. Now, let's look here at, excuse me, Genesis 6. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning. And no, I'm not looking at Adam and Eve. They was perfect in all of their ways, right? When they was made. There was no sin in them, right? But we got to look past that because then they got some. Here in Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and what? Perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let me read it in the Amplified. But Noah found grace. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and righteous man. Blameless in his evil generation, Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. That word perfect there, it means blameless. Now, was Noah a blameless man in the flesh? Absolutely not. He's laying out there drunk at one time, right? Has to be covered up by one of his sons. The other one made fun of him and told his brother, and he got in trouble. But anyway, but the Bible says here that Noah was blameless. What is he talking about? If Noah's not perfect, we would call flawless necessarily in the flesh, then there's something that has to be blameless toward God, and it's Noah's heart. God's not looking for complete perfection necessarily in all of my flesh. The Bible says he looks on the heart. So what God is looking at is mine and your heart. And he says here that Noah's heart was blameless. After the flood, do y'all remember what the first thing Noah done was after he got out of the ark? Y'all don't remember? The Bible says he built an altar and made sacrifices to God. How many of us would build an altar and would make sacrifices to God? You understand what I'm talking about? And the Bible says here that his heart was perfect, that he was a just and a righteous man. And there was no righteousness outside of it, the law or anything at that time. I'm talking about Christ's righteousness that we have today. Look here at 17:1, Genesis. See, when we hear this stuff, we think, oh, yeah, that's true, sad but true. I know it says it, but can't none of us do it. Can you hear that? That's condemnation and that's wrong. Because when I hear it, I must believe I can do it. I must believe that if I humble myself, God will give me grace, he'll help me, he'll strengthen me. Why? Because that's the standard I'm supposed to be going to. Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. My heart is supposed to be engaged toward the Lord from the time I get born again till the time I leave here. And sad to say, some of us sometimes, we get our bills met. We come up from where we have a place to live now, not living in the car anymore or taking a bath in the river. And now God just don't mean a whole lot, so my heart's not engaged anymore, but I'm still going to church. I'm still paying my tithe, and it means nothing. Because my heart is not right and engaged and fully after the Lord. But I'm still going through all the motions. How many knows our motions mean nothing? Our heart is what means something. But when the heart is right, then the following will be right. And if it does mess up, God still counts it as right because you meant right in your heart. And you're hoping, you don't know my heart. Well, yeah. If your actions are pretty much the same day after day after day, we pretty much see you, heart. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou what? Perfect. The Amplified says it here, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God, walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete. And that is exactly what it means when you look it up. What does that mean? That I am completely perfect, flawless in the flesh. I never make a mistake. I never mess up. No. But my heart is wholehearted after God. That means my husband don't come before God. My children don't come before God. My job don't come before God. My money don't come before God. None of my my mom and daddy don't come before. Why? My heart is wholehearted after God. There's no other desire in there that I want more than I want him. That's what he's talking about, the perfection. Look at, let's look at Job. Job gets a lot of flack. He had his problems, just like the rest of us. But there's one thing you can say about Job. And he says it here, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was, what? Perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Amplified. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who reverently feared God, excuse me, and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. But what's he say there about God? He says about Job. He said he was a perfect man. His heart was blameless. Now Job had his stuff, right? He got into a lot of trouble. But there's one thing Job never done. He never lost his integrity or his love for God. I mean, he's even got his own wife saying, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, really? Somebody that's supposed to be a strength to you and a help to you, and they're telling you, why don't you just curse God and die? He never gave up his integrity. And God counts it as blameless. Even though Job had his stuff, he said stuff he shouldn't have, and God come back and said, where was you when I did this? How dare you question me about this? Who do you think you are? In other words. But the Bible calls him perfect and blameless there. Y'all see, we're reading these people that the Bible says they was perfect, right? So we can't say Jesus was the only perfect. We can't say that no more. Let's look here in, let's look at 1 Kings 11. See somebody that the Bible says was not. First Kings 11, verse 1. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Y'all better watch out, guys. Them strange women will get y'all in trouble. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. Neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your what? Heart after what? Their gods. That's the thing God has a big problem with. He says, Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives. Good Lord, help that man. Princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not what? Perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. The Amplified in verse 4 says, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect, complete and whole. It says, with the Lord his God, and was the heart of David his father. Now, we're actually over time already. I got two more if you want to write them down. It's Psalms 101, verses 1 through 2. It's talking about David there, or David talking. 1 Samuel 16:7. Y'all remember the story whenever God told Solomon to go anoint a man king, right? I mean, not Solomon, I'm sorry. Yes, Samuel. I'm getting tongue-tied up here. Anyway, told Samuel to go anoint a king. He goes over there to Jesse's house. Jesse brings out all his big bucking broncos, right? All of them that you would think, whoo, the Lord surely would want him. Look how handsome he is. Whoo, look what money managing this guy can do. We need a king that can manage finances, right? But the Bible says every one of them that came before Samuel, God would say, nah, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. On and on and on. Until he asked him, he said, have you got any more? Is this all you got? Because he knows he ain't found him yet. He says, well, there's one more, but he's out there, you know, working in the field, keeping the sheep, blah, whatever he's doing, you know. He says, call him. He comes in and the Lord says, he's the one. He is a young teenage guy, the youngest of his family. All the rest of them, they look down on him, don't think that much about him and all that stuff. But God says what? I don't look on the outward appearance as man does. I don't care if you're going to church, giving your tithes, and look like you got it all worked out. God knows whether you do or you don't. But then you can take somebody that they're so messed up right now, and God can do a work, and their heart be after God, and you don't even recognize them later. Because he says, I don't look on the outward appearance like man does. He says, I look on the heart. So if my heart is divided, I need to be getting it in line where it's not divided anymore, right? I got to stop because really our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to?